Episode 3, Flipping the Coin. What leads you to spend hours and hours thinking and thinking about what you're working on? Why do you pay such careful attention to the nitty-gritty of the things you're interested in? What makes you push yourself harder and harder so you only take a break when things are done? What makes you so critical of yourself? If you are prone to high-achieving actions, two things may be going on. You are very attuned with what is important to you, or you forgot what truly matters to you and got trapped in chasing an outcome. Either way, you are focused on working harder and harder, chasing accomplishments, checking items of your to-do list, and not messing up. Let me start this episode by asking you to think for a moment of a project that you were fully invested in, spent a lot of time working on, and put your whole heart in it, but it still didn't go well. Perhaps it was a situation related to work, school, raising your kids, a partnership, a friendship, sports, or other area of your life. Do your best to recall the details of what happened when you gave it your all, but things still went south. When thinking about this situation, see if you can also remember the specifics of it. What went wrong? What happened? How did you feel about it? How did you think about yourself? How frustrated, bothered, or annoyed were you? Were you able to focus on other projects after work, or did this situation set a tone for the rest of your day? How did you treat yourself? Now imagine that troublesome situation as one side of a coin. Imagine that on the other side of the coin, there is your response to the question, what hurts the most about this situation? Take a moment to reflect on what hurts you about that situation. This reflection may not be easy at first, but I encourage you to keep asking yourself, what really hurts about this situation? What was truly important for me when it happened? For example, when I did this exercise, I remembered a time when I was invited to give a workshop. I suggested to the organizer that I present on the topic that I was passionate about, using ACT skills to treat fear-based struggles. And I was told quickly, Patricia, no, you cannot present on that topic because there is another colleague who always presents on it. I felt so annoyed because I couldn't understand why I couldn't present. Why sometimes academic institutions have a hierarchical approach. And of course, my mind started wondering, is my work less than the work of this other person? How come it doesn't matter that my work has focused for years on fear-based struggles? Is it insignificant that I have done my best to make ACT skills applicable to specific fear-based struggles? I felt rejected, disappointed, and frustrated because while I was given a space to put my work out there, work that I believe in, I was given that space with restrictions. I continued to feel sad and hurt. My pain was still there. That was one side of my coin. Then I asked myself, why does it hurt so much? Why does it bother me so much? When I made room to unpack my hurt, it was clear that I was hurting because I do deeply care about sharing ACT skills to handle any type of fear-based struggle, period. That was on the other side of my coin. That was my value. Going back to you, What did you learn when flipping your coin and seeing what's on the other side? Being prone to high-achieving behaviors means that when you care about something, you go out of your way to make it excellent. You do your best to stay on track and strive for zero mistakes. It all makes sense. You want to do things perfectly because you care. But it's possible that because you care about it so deeply, you overly focus on the outcome or think of that particular activity as the only way to live your values and do what matters. Think for a moment. In my case, if my value is to share ACT skills that can be impactful for any person dealing with a fear-based struggle, is presenting at that particular conference the only way for me to do so? The answer is no. But when we get attached to one way of living our values, we suffer. The problem, my friend, is not that you care deeply. The problem is that you are going about doing the things you care about in a way that is no longer working for you. The key to harnessing the power of perfectionistic actions is to always go back to your precious values. But what are values? Values is a word that gets thrown around a great deal these days. Everyone seems to be talking about values. But values mean different things to different people. So in this episode, I want to clarify how ACT interprets values, why they are important to us, and how you can use them to guide your inclination to perfectionistic actions. Within ACT, when we are talking about values, we are talking about the responses to fundamental questions, such as, who do you want to be as a father, as a friend, as a brother? What is important to you when you think of your friendships? Who do you want to be in your community? And if you ask yourself these questions not only one time, but every time you have an urge to work harder and harder, or every time your mind is criticizing you, or when you have to make an important decision, then you will get in contact with the things that are truly, truly, truly important to you. You will find out the things that really, really matter to you, the things that you care about. In the process of figuring out your values, you may come across some confusing aspects of it. So let's go over a few of them. Sometimes people confuse values for goals. But values and goals are two different things. Values are the why of what you do. They are what give you purpose. They underlie your path in life. Goals, on the other hand, are stops along the way. Goals are specific stepping actions that you take in the direction of your values. Goals can be checked off after taking specific actions to complete them. So, for example, if my value as a mother is being caring, then my goals could be preparing a meal for my kids 3 times a week, driving my kids to soccer games 2x a week, or having movie nights with my kids every Friday. The value is why I do these things, because being a caring mother is important to me, and the goals are the actions I take in the service of that value. Every time I complete a goal, every time I take action, I can check those actions off the list. But that doesn't mean that I am done living my value of being a caring mother. That value can never be checked off a list because it's always informing what I do. So values and goals are two different things. They go together, but they are not the same. Sometimes people confuse values and feelings. When people are trying to figure out their values, they sometimes say things like, my value is being happy. My value is to be in peace. And that makes sense. Of course, we want to experience good feelings. We want to feel happy, excited, and good most of the times, if not always. But values and feelings are different things. If we step back a little bit, we can all agree that we are wired to experience a full range of emotions. That's just our natural makeup. But experiencing one feeling versus another doesn't mean that we're living our values. We are just feeling. And our feelings, like waves in the ocean, come and go. We don't have control over what we feel. But we do have control over how we act and how we live our lives. So equating values with feelings is tricky. Because as much as you want to have a particular feeling, you have no control over what you feel. You simply feel what you feel. So just to be on the same page, values are not feelings. In fact, doing the things that are important to us, living our values, many times comes with very, very uncomfortable feelings. Let me give you an example. Let's say that Joe travels 6 hours every single weekend to spend time with his grandmother who has Alzheimer's and cannot leave her house. Joe spends a lot of time in her bedroom, reading books to her, showing her pictures, and watching TV with her. And yet, she barely recognizes him. Sometimes she calls him by the wrong name. Even though he's doing his best, Joe often feels sad when visiting his grandmother and when driving back home. He believes that it is unfair that his grandma, who raised 9 children and survived a recession, has to live her last days in this way. And yet, every single weekend, Joe wakes up early, makes himself coffee, and without any distraction or hesitation, he jumps in his car and drive for 6 hours to spend time with her. Joe's value of being caring doesn't mean that it's going to be flowers and rainbows all the time, or that he's always going to be happy and bubbly. In fact, it's quite likely that we, like Joe, are going to experience a lot of uncomfortable feelings in the service of doing the things that are important to us and being the people we want to be. Sometimes people confuse values with preferences. They are things that each one of us loves to do, are passionate about, and we go out of our way to make them happen. For example, you may love your morning coffee. You may love driving to the beach. You may love watching movies on the weekend. And you may want to have a lot of those moments in your life, which is great. But all those activities are preferences, not values. Because your morning coffee, as tasty as it is, cannot point you in the direction of doing what matters to you. To make it crystal clear, our personal preferences about things we like to do or participate in are not values. Values are not your wishes for others' behaviors. Sometimes when talking to my clients, I hear things like, I want to be respected. I want to be loved. I want to be seen. I want to be accepted. And of course, all those desires make total sense. It makes sense that you want to be seen. It makes sense that you want to be loved, that you want to be respected. And you deserve that. The challenging part of these wishes is that you don't have control over other people's reactions, behaviors, or feelings about you. You can ask for what you need. Of course, you can be assertive. But it doesn't mean that you can force people to feel or act in a particular way towards you. So when looking at your values and taking steps towards what matters to you, you must keep in mind that you have no control over how others feel about you. At the end of the day, you will learn to do what is important to you despite any emotions others have towards you. So to recap, values are different from goals. Values are not feelings. Values are not personal preferences. And values are not your wishes for others' behaviors. And because I am such an ACT nerd, and because ACT is also a behavior therapy, I want you to think of values as verbs, as ongoing ways of being and behaving every single moment of your day. You may think of values as being caring, being kind, or being real. And those are just examples for you to think of values as verbs. On a personal level, I can tell you with a lot of honesty that 25 years ago, I thought I was an okay person. And I think I was an okay person. Then, when I learned about ACT, I started looking at what was truly important to me in many situations, in many areas in my life. And then I started taking actions towards those values. That's when things completely shifted for me for the better, in so many, many, many ways. These days, when I get stuck, the first question I ask myself is, what's truly important at this moment? What truly matters right now? When I'm feeling scared, when I'm feeling unsure, when I'm feeling worried, I go back to that question, what really matters right now? And while the process of checking in with my values has not been easy or perfect every time, the sense of vitality and purpose that I feel when I return to my values is something I am extremely grateful for. Going back to my values has really, really helped me to be a better human being. I mean it. Moving forward, I invite you to regularly check in with what really matters to you. You can do this when you are spending hours and hours trying to make the perfect decision, searching for the perfect outfit, striving for the perfect meal, or rehearsing in your mind exactly what you're going to talk about on your next date. And one last thing. There are so many ways to live your life. You can live your life by doing the things that you have seen your family and relatives do, and in a way that they told you to do so. You can live your life by doing only the things that are fun and exciting. You can live your life by doing the things that you are supposed to do. But there is a big, big, big difference when you step back and look at what's really important to you. What gives you a sense of vitality? And what gives you meaning in life? Life will give you plenty of opportunities to touch base with what truly matters to you, especially when doing what you deeply care about. So ask yourself right now, what really matters to me? In the next episodes, you're going to learn ACT micro skills to do what matters and harness the power of high-achieving actions without losing yourself.